This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
And now, the next head coach of the U.S. men's national team, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks for joining us here on another crisp, cool fall Wednesday. Petro Siebold authoring the Sports Center's Fast Talking Rob running the operation today. 913-3810-810, our phone number. You can hit me up on the Twitter at Soren Petro. SorenPetro, your attempt to address Kansas City. And really the nation. So many people listening on the stream with the 810 app and at 810WHB.com that, you know, really the global program network.
Oh, yeah.
Is really what it is. A lot coming your way today here in the program. We're going to talk about the blemish or debacle that was the U.S. men's national team missing the World Cup. Some subjects that we've discussed before will be revisited today. We'll see where we're at. Could be time for There Can Be Only One. Jonathan Charks from The Ringer is going to be with us. Kind of interesting with the soccer thing that's going on. You know, a lot of talk about the college basketball and all the problems. You know, we have the investigation. We haven't had any more names. Supposedly there was going to be names coming out. We haven't seen any more names. Rick Pitino, the biggest name in the Louisville program, really, and accumulation of sins. Felling Rick Pitino as the head coach of the Louisville Cardinals, but a lot of people talking about that the AAU system's broken, that the basketball model, college basketball, is just too much about big business for the schools and everything, that there needs to be something else. Jonathan Charks at The Ringer has written about basketball moving towards, potentially moving towards, a soccer model, an academy model to build up the programs. So we'll see. We'll talk to him coming up here shortly. Andy Reid's press conference. We'll give you Andy Reid's press conference here in a little bit. It's 10 o'clock where he'll focus in on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Frank Bohl will be with us. The godfather of Kansas City sports will join us in the noon hour. Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders will be with us. Talk about their metrics on the Kansas City Chiefs and their chances of making the postseason. And, of course, get you the things you need to know as well before we get out of here. Let's start with what happened. U.S. loses 2-1 to Trinidad and Tobago. Count me in on couldn't find them on a map. Like, aren't they out one of the islands out in the Caribbean?
My my second choice for throw was, and now feeling sorry for Tobago, why do they have to go second?
Yeah, that's not bad. I like that. I think that's of note. Listen. We're gonna hear a couple of things that were really, really good on ESPN last night, and I'm gonna start with the reaction. And I think this is the reaction. This is a positive reaction for a lot of the soccer fans. If you haven't heard it yet, Taylor Twellman, who does a great job analyzing soccer for ESPN, was on the national team, played in the MLS. He was quite upset. This is him building up and ultimately losing his cool on ESPN last night.
It's not about tonight. It's not about Jurgen Klinsmann. It's not just about Bruce Arena. As a whole, U.S. soccer is not prepared. They have not done a good enough job of getting this group ready to play. And keep in mind, the last two Olympics, no United States. Those players that would be playing in the Olympics, 24 through 28, how many of them are in this roster? The players got to be good enough, too. So a lot of people on social media right now want to say it's Jurgen Klinsmann's fault, it's Bruce Arena's fault, it's Sunil Gulati's fault. By the way, as an ex-player, every single one of those players,
they can take some
nightmares
yep.
for the rest of their lives, because this is an utter embarrassment with the amount of money that is in Major League Soccer and in this sport. You can't get a draw, a tie against Trinidad? Max, you don't deserve to go to the World Cup.
They certainly did. And people always say about it's tough to get points here, but I see Mexico get
come
points.
Come on.
We can stop using that excuse.
Yes.
This is. You look at this team, you look at this. They're going to be sitting around next summer, and they're going to be watching this World Cup go on without them. So what does this program do? Is this group, do you blow it up?
This is everything, though, Max. So, because I remind everyone, 2,000 euros, Germany laid an egg, and they all came together.
Bundesliga, second Bundesliga, DFB, the German Football Federation, all came together with a 10-year plan. Guess what happened in 10 years? They won that World Cup. If this failure does not wake up everyone from U.S. soccer to Major League Soccer, from pay to play to broadcasters to everything, then we're all insane. Because the definition of insanity is doing the exact same thing, knowing the result.
Love it.
And if we don't change it, and I mean we, everyone in U.S. soccer, then what are we doing? What's the point? Because that should have never happened with the $1 billion plus that is going into Major League Soccer and youth development. That should have never happened, and it did, and every single person should look themselves in the mirror. And by the way, that's including myself.
Yeah,
I'm part of U.S. soccer.
We're all involved.
I played for the program. It's embarrassing.
We're all involved, and we're sick, and we look at what this team has been able to do, and a lot of times the criticism comes and they repel the criticism. The criticism, it's going to come in thick and fast. And I hear what you're saying now. The gloves are off at this point, and people got to be real.
Well, you and I have talked about this off camera. Well, guess what? I see that little red light. It's on, and I'm going to bring it up right now.
Okay.
The gloves should have been off years ago. We should have been having real criticism. And the discussion after Brazil, Max, was can we beat the Colombias and the Belgians and the Argentinas of the world?
Can't
you kidding me? We can't beat Trinidad on a field that's too wet and too heavy? What are we doing? This is the discussion that's being had. It's remarkable to me when I go in this stupid thing right here at how ignorant people are when the rest of the world, Belgium played Bosnia on a cow pasture.
All right, Max Bredos, the other voice you heard on that as he went off, I think he covered a lot of ground. There are a lot of things to take away from that. A couple of things I also heard later on. Who's the Mizzou guy? That's with Buchagross.
John Anderson.
John Anderson said, you know, we keep hearing success is right around the corner. You know, it's the sport. First of all, who's saying that? Like, I really bristled at that, because I'm going to tell you, at least in this studio, I held the discussion and everybody got pissed. And listen, I've said this a lot of times. Too much sports talk radio is a guy opens the mic and comes on and gives you a bunch of reasons he spent 20 hours with why he's right and tries to slap himself on the back. Okay, so I try to not do that. All right, but in this studio, we talked with the last World Cup. And I know Doug really bristled at it. There are a lot of people bristled. Nate and I, we had discussions about it. I said, I think we're like 100 years away from winning the World Cup. Now, he talks in there about, well, you know, we were having discussions about beating Colombia and those kind of things. There's a lot of energy there. There's a lot of fire. There's a lot of passion. I love all of it. But I do think, like, the one thing you can't do is just react, right? He's right. You need to look at everything about U.S. soccer from top to bottom. But you need to look at it, not just scream, fire everybody. What's successful? What's not successful? And I think part of the problem is, I think John Anderson's right from the standpoint, because we've had some fun as a country here over the last couple of World Cups, and we've started to get into it, and we've started to pack the PNL, and the Border Patrol goes down there and throws a party, and it's a ball, and it's great, and we're into it, that at some of our entitlement, frankly, as Americans, which being a part of the greatest country on earth, I think we absolutely have a sense of entitlement. You know, and a lot of us in today's day and age, our entitlement comes from the standing on the backs of those that fought for the successes that created the country we live in today and the entitlement. Something to think about, bigger picture, set that off to the side. But I think we are a nation of entitled people. And because we're new to the sport and we're used to dominating the sport, you know, I think about Chris Rock's great joke when he said, asked why more African-Americans don't play hockey, don't feel a need to dominate yet another sport. Right. That was kind of the U.S. approach to soccer. Well, why aren't you guys good at soccer? Because we don't feel a need to dominate yet another sport. But yet we've gotten into it and now we're liking it. And so many of the younger generation are watching the EPL and in any kind of high level soccer. There's a passion for it. Kids are getting into it. They've played it. The kids of, you know, my generation of soccer was the next sport. It was. And that was all, again, our American entitlement. Oh, we're going to make an effort, so we'll dominate right away. Well, no. I mean, just forget about the global, the military, the the societal topics that I'm discussing about having a sense of entitlement. Let's just talk about the sports sense of entitlement. We have a sense of entitlement when it comes to basketball. It's one of the things we're going to talk about with Charks later. You know, our entitlement is that, okay, we'll roll the ball out. We're great at basketball because we've always been great at basketball. Well, we're great at basketball because we worked at it. At one point, our college basketball system was the best. Our AAU system was the best. Our blacktops and our urban areas were covered with hoops. There was a financial investment with basketball courts and hoops. Part of it was the financial investment was minimal compared to getting a perfectly level grass field that's very playable, right? That's a soccer field's a huge thing. Four courts in Harlem, we're rocking and rolling. Blacktop it, don't have to mess with it for 20 years. Throw the rims up there. They play without nets, God bless them, which just sucks. I mean, you trust me, when you suck like I do, I can't even throw it in the ocean without a net. Yet these kids work their game. They go to the rim. They play. They you know, there was hard work. Oh, now we're great. Well, hard work got us to being great. We built a culture of the best, and the best play with the best. You know, Kobe Bryant, when he played, well, he's not, he lived in Europe. He's not a good example, but, you know, LeBron James, when he went out there, he was playing. He had to go play with kids that were already playing the game at a high level. The boat rises, you know, all boats rise with the tide. So you go out and you want to play basketball. If you're playing with a bunch of second graders, your game is not going to explode. You're going to be a 5'9 guy that just you play with second graders. All of a sudden, you're going to be a low post center that just plays, you know, rebound off the backboard and scores all the time. Great, I'm the best in the world. No, you go play with guys that are 6'2", and you got to learn to pump fake and get an up and under and put it on the deck and get a crossover to create space and learn to knock down shots with the fall away. Your game rises, right? And this is the thing. I do think in some ways that this thought that soccer's the next big thing. First of all, that's a hater term that's been said for a while. But I do think that there is a success is around the corner. I will maintain what I said. We are 60, 80, 100 years away from winning the World Cup. And I want to play. Bob Lee is on board with something I said. He echoed this in his comments. They brought him on via telephone. This is something I've talked about, and I think Bob Lee's one of the best broadcasters out there. And I love his Outside the Line segment because they do what I think we like to do and try to do here in the program. Go beyond just the surface area, you know, the deadspin level of this guy sucks. Look at this funny photo, which I love me some deadspin. It's bookmarked. I'm not hating on it, but it's just I don't do deadspin radio, right? I do more Outside the Lines radio, so I'm a fan. Bob Lee on SportsCenter last night talking about something that I discussed really for about the last 4 years.
Until you see kids in this country universally where the game is played, dribbling home from school because they want to, not being shoved into the back of a van or a station wagon because it's time to play on the weekend. I mean, when kids play because they have to climb out of the circumstance they're in, or because they just love the sport so much because they're dribbling because it's fun to do, even if they're just bouncing it against the wall for their reflexes or to play the ball. You don't necessarily – listen, if you travel the world and go to these nations where soccer is in the culture, you understand how steeped it is in just to the upbringing of kids who are good to the sport. I mean, there's some things you can teach. I mean, Christian Pulisic has great God-given skills. What a tragedy, by the way, this young man won't play in the World Cup. But he has God-given skills. But at the age of, 16, he picked up and moved to Europe because that's where the skills are elevated. That's where every day you're playing for your job. Nothing is given. And especially as an American, there's still a bias against Americans overseas. And you turn it to your advantage. You work even harder. Ask Taylor. I mean, he played in Germany. I mean, you're an American. Somebody from another country with similar skills, I'm sure, got more passes than you did.
So much there that I just agree. I agree with literally every word the man said right there.
And that's a guy who's been covering soccer. He 82 World Cup, he said earlier in that was the first one he covered. So he's been around that sport for a bit.
And he clearly lives in this country, so he understands the culture of America.
Yeah.
Listen, the bottom line is this, and it's on multiple levels, that number one, yes, you know, he said, unless you feel that this is the only way to bring myself up out of my circumstance, right? Boxing is a sport of the poor. You fight because it's your only chance. Your schools are not given the funding they need. You don't have the academic opportunity. College is no way can I afford college. That's not how I'm rising up. I'm not paying for my mom who's working two jobs and my dad, you know, who's working two jobs or passed away, or I'm a single mom and my brother's got a special needs problem and he needs extra help. And my only shot is, what do I got? I look around and I got two things. I got the basketball court. Well, I'm 5'7.5". And I got the boxing ring. And maybe football, if they got football in my town, right? You go to Mississippi, football's a way out. Hey, I see Tyreek Hill on TV. I'm going to play ball like Tyreek Hill. That is what drives our sports. That is certainly a wave. It's all of boxing. I don't know a single, I know one. One person in the Johnson County area, right? And there's Wyandotte County and there's Jackson County, I know. But my county that I live in, one guy that his kid might do some boxing. And that's because he works for Ringside. It's in his blood. It's in his house's culture, right? You go into Stephen St. John's house, maybe one of his kids could have been a boxer. Because it's in the culture of the St. John family. They sit down and watch boxing. Right? That's part of their culture. But for the most part in this country, it's not in our culture. We're getting there. Culture is not created in 10 or 15 years. He talked about, so there's the avenue of the impoverished that says, it's my only shot. It's my only chance. And not just it's my only chance, it's my only release. It sucks at home. Man, we don't have enough to eat. We don't have what we need. So I'm grabbing my ball and I'm hitting the blacktop and I'm going to shoot some hoops because that's a release. I got game. I can ball. I can run with the fellas. And for a moment in a space in my neighborhood, I'm the man.
A winner.
Whether they go on to be NBA players or not, that basketball is a release. It's part of their culture. And soccer's not like that. Soccer is fueled, the pay-for-play, if you keep hearing that term, is, look, my kid plays soccer. I pay for my kid to play soccer. The best of the best, they pay more. Hell, I think out at the Shields Complex, the premier team for second graders, when you put everything into it, is costing families $1,100. If you want to play the best of the best in Johnson County, and I know there's like Leewood Rec or Overland Park Rec or whatever. There's other rec leagues, but I'm just going to give you that Shields Complex. Anybody lives outside, second grade kids, their families got to come up with $1,200 to play soccer that year. You just eliminated anybody who can't fund the $1,200. So it's not that like, oh, what are you talking about? I mean, we get great coaching. You get great coaching out there, but we've eliminated. We talk about we're a nation of 350 million people. Well, which children-wise is what, 10 million, 20 million? Talk about in the development stages. I don't know. So. We're living longer. Let's make it 20 million for round numbers. How many of those 20 million can afford $1,200 to play? That's just the spring fall session in the second grade. Then you move up and you got to travel and you got to do this because we don't play competitive soccer just in our town. We got to go to Omaha and we got to go to Topeka and we got to go to Wichita or, God forbid, the baseball, which is the same way. It's why Dayton Moore is busting his butt to get the baseball going with his academy. You got to travel to Vegas. You got to travel to Dallas. You got to go all over the AAU. Well, the shoe companies, they're so bad. Well, they're the ones paying for the trip to go to Vegas. In reality, the shoe companies are being villainized in this situation, but why should they be? Why shouldn't the poor kid playing AAU ball get a chance to go to Vegas to play basketball and get that life experience? It's just the culture of that sport and how it's taken up. Poor kids play ball. Well, how are we going to get the poor kids to play against the best? Well, we got to pay to get them there. Well, it's no different with U.S. soccer. You got to get the 5'8", 5'9", 5'10 kid all the way up to 6'2". I get it. But soccer is not the 7-footers, right? It's not the 250-pound linebacker types. Those kids are looking for an opportunity. That's the game, man. We are plentiful of kids the right size to play the sport, but we don't make it accessible to them. It's not part of their culture. And that culture is growing. But just as everybody in the 70s and 80s, soccer, it's the sport, it's the next thing. No, it's not. They were wrong then. Nobody says that now. People keep talking about it. Old farts, my generation, I always heard about soccer. Nobody says it now. We're beginning to understand, now that we've dug in, what it's going to take. And part of it is, I love the passion, right, of Taylor Twellman. But part of it is, let's calm down. That passion is somewhat misguided, right? Taylor Twellman and others like him now need to take that passion and go to the inner cities of this country and work with the government officials to get fields built where these kids can go play the game. It's great to piss and moan on TV. It's great to point out all the faults, but what are you doing to fix the game? Celebrate Dayton Moore. He has identified that we got an issue. And he is trying to affect change. He is using his status, his clout, his power, probably his own money, to go try to grow the game. That's a man that baseball is in the culture of his family. His son's a top prospect, or a good prospect. I don't know where he ranks. It was a good prospect because baseball's in the culture of the Dayton Moore family. And he is giving back to the sport. Hey, it's great for Rob Brenton to go have some beers and get schnockered and catch an Uber home at noon after watching him some Chelsea soccer. But when he has some kids one day, he better get his ass out on the field and coach. And he better work towards getting some fields built where the kids who can't come out and play $1,200 to play soccer at Shields can go play soccer. If you care about winning at the World Cup, and it's fine to be like, soccer's not part of my culture, man. I'm out and I don't really care. Move along. That's fine. But it's on those that soccer is becoming part of your culture. Saturday morning in Rob Brenton's life is, I'm going, I'm having a couple of pints, and I'm watching Chelsea. It's in his culture. It's becoming part of who he is. Sporting Kansas City is going to play tonight. It'll be on my TV. It's DVR'd at my house. I'm not missing the game. It's becoming part of my culture. If I really give a flying float about winning the World Cup, I need to make an effort to get kids playing soccer. I get back a little. I coach a second grade girls team. Right? A little. I could do more. I got other causes, other dramas in my life these days that are a top priority. But if those get solved and move along, then I like coaching kids. It doesn't have to just be my kids. We got a team in my neighborhood that needs a coach. Maybe I get back to it. All those things are what it's going to take. There is no villain. We talk about it all the time. There's not one. It's not fire Bruce Arena or get rid of Tim Howard or Klinsmann was an ass or who's the head of U.S. soccer. I'm not saying that all these guys don't need to go. Maybe they all do, but there's no one big answer. Culture. It's why we talk, when we talk about basketball, we talk about the culture of basketball. AAU is part of the culture of basketball. We'll talk about it with Charks. It's going to take a shift in the culture of basketball to get away from money dominating the front side. But again, this is where I talk about it. There's no victims in this crime, or it's potentially a victimless crime. There's a lot of benefits to AAU basketball. So get off your high horse.
Oh, yeah, he's all terrible. And then you turn around and go, I can't believe Sporting signing a 16-year-old kid. He's not going to get to play high school soccer.
No, but he's going to be part of the best of the best. And let me tell you something else. There's a part of it, and the story of A Few Good Men is the fact that Jack Nicholson is a undesirable character. But you need me on that wall. Part of our military is there is a toughness. It ain't nice. There's a toughness. There is a side that we don't necessarily want to see in cocktail parties where you don't want to talk about it. You need me on that wall. And in sports, to be the best, there's an unseemly side. It's concussions. I want a team that can win. Well, Travis Kelce, beat the test and get your ass back out on that field. CTE, guy might have a really tough life. I don't want to hear that part. I need him on the field. We got to go. Well, you're going to have a fake hip. Don't care. Can you play Herc? Are you ready? Are you ready to go? Let's go. We don't want to talk about that. Vince Lombardi was a world-class jackass to his family. That's not talked about. He was a pain in the ass. to virtually everybody around him. Jimmy Johnson told his wife, get lost. I got football to coach. Because football is part of our culture. We give whatever it takes. We give beyond what's healthy to be successful at football. They give beyond what it's healthy to be successful in soccer. You know, the pay-to-play, the soccer mom thing, villainizing a mom who carpools five kids out there. No. You're missing the point. The point is that's a fun activity. That's great. But in other countries, they give till it hurts. They go to the unseemly side. They go to, did you get your ass outside, son? And did you take 50 shots? Did you do that? Well, I got homework. Take your shots. But really, homework should be first. I ain't going to school, Dad. You know I'm not making it through college. I'm not smart enough. You don't have the money. I'm taking my 50 shots. Screw you to homework. We don't want to hear that. But that's part of what it is. Kids aren't doing homework. They're on the blacktop. Because school ain't going to take me out. My school sucks, and we can't afford college. But I can go to the rim. I can go to the hole. And ain't anybody stopping me when I take it to the rim. That's part of the culture. It's a little bit shady. We don't want to know about it. We love us some Steph Curry knocking down Jays. We like LeBron thundering down the lane for a dunk. We like all those things. Don't show me how the sausage is made. Just put it cooked on my plate. Well, these are the things it's going to take if you want to be the best at soccer. I believe we will get there. It will take pain. It will take money. It will take effort, and it will take time.